Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
I am fracking all the zigs up in this place. I don't even know. I can't even.
What was that joke you told me? What was that joke you told me about the I can't even? What was that?
It's why do hipsters always hang out in odd groups? It's because they can't even.
I swear I probably giggled at that for about an hour. I love jokes like that. So, folks, we have a guest this week. We were specifically requested. Someone on Twitter who we can't find now. We can't find the tweet. Sorry, but if you are the person on Twitter, please chime in and say who you were. Someone on Twitter requested specifically we get the developer of Zigfrak on the show.
Yeah, I think it was Derek Smart, actually.
It was Pirate Billy. Found it.
Pirate Billy, you found it?
Yeah.
Hi, Pirate Billy. You requested Alex Ayers to join us on the show, so we have Alex Ayers on the show. Welcome,
yes.
Alex.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. I mean, I honestly haven't talked to you in a while. A lot has happened. The last time I talked to you, I did a textual review of your game, and that was like 2012?
That was a while ago, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it was out yet. I think it was still in beta.
Oh, no. Maybe it was just out. It must have been because I think I did a review. But now
you do. I think you did, too. You did like one while I was in beta, and then after it came out, I think you wrote up another.
Yeah, I think so. But now a lot has happened since then. Quite a bit. You're now on Steam.
Yeah.
And you got there through Greenlight, if I recall.
Yeah, I was on Greenlight for like a year, finally made it through basic attrition, I guess, people at the top getting greenlit and opening up space for underdogs to slide on up.
Yeah, and so I want to talk about that journey because I'm seeing more space games make it on to Steam through Greenlight. I definitely want to hear about that. But let's get started on what Zigfrak is. Give the folks who maybe have never played the game the elevator pitch
what
Zigfrak is.
I've been playing it for a while, and I still don't know what it is.
It's elevator pitch. I've never been good at that.
I'll do your best.
It is a kind of humorous take at the genre. It's kind of like, I don't know, I tell people it's Borderlands in space, and then they're like, well, what's Borderlands? So it's like it's shoot and loot in space. And
yeah, that's a good
point. If people don't know what that means, then I can't help them at that point. It's like,
so I guess you would say it's almost like an action RPG in space,
sort.
But it's a full 3D thing. So it's I don't know. Like people have played a lot of Drox Operative, and I would say maybe it's kind of like the 3D hi-fi Drox Operative. Maybe
I've heard that. I haven't actually played Drox Operative, but I have read a bit about it. And you're not the first person who has made that comparison.
Were the other people nice people?
Yeah, they're okay. They're pretty nice.
All right, I'm in good company then.
Yeah, they weren't being mean. So yeah, it does. It starts off a little slow, kind of hand-holdy, but it does ramp up quite a bit. It gets kind of frenetic at points.
It really does. And right now we're kind of in a I got enemies. Right now we're kind of in a tutorial thing where we're kind of being led about by these missions that kind of tell us about salvaging and about you see all that stuff swirling around, by the way, folks? That is loot. Some of the loot in this game is magnetic, and some of the loot in this game you have to actually click and salvage. So
I kind of got a little bit of a Freelancer feel out of that, because Freelancer, as you'd do a flyby, it would have little tractor beams reach out and suck things in, and kind of same deal here.
Yeah, similar about that.
But the enemies are basically loot pinatas, and you hit them and they explode into loot, and then you fly through the cloud of loot.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And there's a ton of loot.
Oh, God, a ton. Absolute.
Now, in the early part of the training, I found that I would run out of bullets a lot. So I was always on the lookout for, oh, did somebody drop a bullet in space and I can pick it up and shoot it back at them?
Yes.
You know, and now that I'm in, I've upgraded and I've got a new ship at the end of that tutorial phase. And, you know, I went and did all the missions at Alpha Station, and I'm back at Alpha Station now. But I have, like, 1,500 pulse rounds, so I'm not really, you know, too stingy with my shooting anymore.
Yeah, I only recently changed how the ammo works. It used to be that there were, like, a million different kinds of ammo, and it was really hard to keep track of. So I turned ammo into, like, a generic item where you just have, like, one giant stack. And it's I probably erred on the side of generosity because I didn't want people to run out under the new system. But I think it's okay. I think it's tuned pretty well.
Yeah. And you've got a pretty cool sense of humor. You know, it's like I can buy a roll of duct tape at the space station.
Yeah, duct tape is actually a really good item. You need it for crafting ships, and it will also – if I don't know if you've seen the Last Chance effect when you're about to die.
Yeah.
But it can actually cancel that.
Oh, cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the humor that this game has. I remember one of my favorite early missions was when you went fishing in a black hole, a fishing hole or something like that.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that, just little puns like that just cracked me the frack up. But yeah, basically, folks, the game is like almost entirely mouse controlled. Right now I'm flying by holding both mouse buttons down, which is, you know, pretty nice. And there's a button that, you know, lets you do cruise mode, so you don't have to hold both mouse buttons down. And you can steer with the keyboard a little bit. You can zoom left and right, you know. So there are definitely options to how you want to play this. I forget, does this game have gamepad support of any kind?
Not natively. Some people have managed to get it to work, but it doesn't have it like as a first class, you know, input option. I would like to at least have partial controller support, probably in a future patch.
Right.
But it's so heavily keyboard and mouse driven that I don't think I could come up with a way of doing everything with the controller without completely redoing the UI elements and stuff.
Oh, that's fair. Now, one thing about this game that might be off-putting to some is the UI. I don't know.
It's not great.
It's a bit busy. I'm sorry. I love this game. I do. But it is a bit busy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, everybody's played World of Warcraft, right? So we're used to having a hot bar down at the bottom, and that's the things that you do, right? So
right.
I do kind of wish that whenever I turn on mouse control, where I don't have to hold the mouse button down to steer, that I could just have left and right be shoot and missile. That would be something I would want to configure. But other than that, I don't really have a problem with it. Except I've somehow closed the inventory thing where I was supposed to eject these cargo pods, and I can't figure out how to open it again.
Oh,
so there's that.
Are you the one playing right now?
Oh, I got mission list.
I'm playing it.
We're both playing it. He's just playing.
Oh, you're playing it too? You're playing it too, Jim?
I'm totally playing it.
Yeah, I'm playing it on the stream right now, and right now I'm activating jamming beacons, and I just love the effect. Like, there's lots of great little touches to this game. Like, when you activate a jamming beacon, your whole screen goes like an old TV, you know, when your antennas are screwed up, you know?
Right. Hey, and if you do happen to close that little side scenario window by accident, you can hit F12, yeah. I think is the default to bring it back. Or
actually L was what I needed for it, I think.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. So I guess L for mission log.
Yeah, there's it is
F12 as well. So there you go.
Whoop. Yeah, so now I'm in combat, and guys, combat is crazy.
It was a little quicker than I was expecting.
Especially when you have a lot of enemies going on at once. It's not difficult. I mean, it's challenging, but it's not difficult. Basically, you use your tab button to cycle through your enemies, and then you hit spacebar to shoot everything you have at them until they are dead or disabled.
Oh, really? Spacebar shoots stuff too?
Yeah, spacebar shoots everything.
See, I thought I had to selectively shoot the the stuff. So okay.
Yeah, you can.
You can if you want to.
Like well, if you want to disable without destroying them, and you want to kind of ease off a bit, give it a little finesse with just your primary or secondary weapons, you can do that. Because sometimes it can be hard to disable the enemy without destroying them. Like if you want to dock with them or something.
Yeah.
I'm getting my butt kicked here. Getting my butt kicked. But yeah, basically, later in the game, not even that later in the game to where I am now, like this is still early, there are lots of enemies flying about. And thankfully, the game like doesn't make it difficult to keep track of all this because you have your tab to cycle through everything. And then you have all these convenient arrows.
So the one you're on now is actually kind of a weird mission. You're not supposed to kill these guys. You're supposed to dock with them. And that's,
oh, really?
That catches a lot of people off guard.
Okay, so I can't dock with that one.
Yeah, kill the big dude and dock with the little guys.
Okay, I can do that. I also love how, like, when you get hit bad enough, you're like, oh, geez. I also like how power-ups are clearly defined, because this game does have those. This game has power. I just need to find one, because I'm doing pretty poorly here. It's been a while since I played. Ooh, a health pack. I need that. I need that badly. Ooh, I'm about to die here.
Yeah,
but
this one gets, this can be a hard one.
There's the boost. There's the boost.
So what's the history of this game? How did this happen to, like, fall out of your brain and into the keyboard?
That is an excellent question.
Yeah, it was under development for a while as just like a part-time hobby project. I wanted to make kind of the game that I saw in my head when I was playing other games. Like, for example, like you cited World of Warcraft, which the UI is sort of kind of modeled after, which in retrospect wasn't the best thing to model my UI after. But I was playing that and like, you know what? This would be really cool if it was in space. And also... Escape Velocity from Ambrosia.
Oh, yes.
That was a big influence. Like, I was just like, wow, you know, this should be 3D, but it's not. So maybe I could do something like that.
Yeah. Wow, there's so much stuff going on the screen right now. I think that this should have a seizure warning.
It probably should, just to cover my own ass so I don't get sued by...
Uh-oh, it's just some sort of space disco, like Lady Gaga would have designed this fight. I don't know what's happening, like glow sticks.
Oh, the space disco fight comes later, actually.
You know, having played some of this, I wouldn't doubt that actually happens. And maybe like the Bee Gees are accompanying you or something.
There are literally disco balls later in the game that are also nuclear warheads.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Oh, my ship has been disabled.
Yeah, I'm fighting the Attractoids, who are very colorful, and they have a whole lot of particle effects going on. So that's pretty neat. So
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, what had you coded before this? I mean, obviously, this is not the first time that you wrote a program, right? So.
Well, I mostly just had like a scripting background, so like Perl at the time.
How do you get from Perl to this? I mean, first off, what engine is this? Did you make an engine?
No, it's Unity.
Okay.
And there was a bit of a learning curve at first, but I'm pretty comfortable with it now. It, like I mentioned, it was a hobby project for a while. That was like a long while. That was like 4 years of, you know, getting ramped up and failing a lot and trying to find my footing. And then, yeah, so it took some ramping up to switch from the scripting mindset to actually writing something that's got to fire like 60 times every second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think like the whole timing aspect of games in general, it would just be crazy, because I do a lot of scripting too, but when timing matters, my brain just checks out. I don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah. You really gotta, it's a different mindset for sure. So earlier you mentioned that it was like kind of an action RPG, and that's usually what I bill it as, but sometimes like you get the purist out in the crowd who's like, that's not an action RPG, and they're kind of right, because you know there's no action tree, there's no action skill tree, there's like that's something that's missing. That's actually something that I would like to add. Some kind of tech tree, talent tree thing. so you could actually develop your character a little bit more other than just the guns you've got equipped.
That's a good idea.
I'm going to kind of do like one big honking patch before the lifetime of this game is over. Some new content and a bunch of new features. And then maybe think about a sequel at some point down the road.
Ooh, yeah, that wouldn't be bad.
So did this release originally on Desura or something like that? Or what happened before Greenlight?
I was selling it directly from the site for a while, and then Desura, I think, was the first distributor who I signed up with. I was on their alpha funding thing for a while, which was pretty cool. And there's a handful of other smaller distributors that I hooked up with along the way. Obviously Steam is the big one now. Would say like I'm probably selling the second most volume through a little outfit called Shiny Loot.
Yeah, no, Shiny Loot is actually surprisingly great.
Yeah, that guy knows how to sell games.
Yeah, how does that work? Because I've never dealt with them.
I actually have never bought a game from them, but I think it's pretty typical storefront.
You
sign in, you buy games, you've got access to them from your like profile page or whatever.
Okay, yeah, so it's not like a bundle site then.
Right.
But has this been in any bundles? Like, have you been through the Humble process or anything?
I think so. I think this has been in some bundles, right?
I haven't done Humble. That's the big time. Probably would make some money if I did that. But the first bundle type thing I did was through Gamersgate. They had their Indie Fort Spring bundle in, I think it was 2013. And maybe it was 2012. I can't remember. Then Indie Game Stand, which isn't really a bundle site, but they're just like pay what you want deal. That was probably my first big like, oh my God, like I just sold like 2,000 copies. I'm going to hide in my room kind of thing. So Indie Game Stand, and then Groupies, build a Green Light bundle a while back. And that was actually when I got Greenlight was when I was doing the Groupies bundle like that week. That sent a lot of traffic over to my Greenlight page and pushed me over the edge.
That's awesome. How did it feel to get Greenlight? I mean, it's probably a stupid question.
It was unreal. It felt like a dream. It was like I didn't know what to think because that's all I wanted. You know, that's like, man, I just want to get on Steam. That's all I want. Like not being able to get on Steam was just like, you know, really like really grating on me. And then one day it's just like it happened.
So at that point, did your wallet just explode or what?
I wish. It's actually, yeah, it's not as, I'm probably not one of their top sellers, but it's nice. It's nice to have a continually increasing player base there. And, you know, almost no one ever buys games for full price these days. And the Zigfrag's already pretty inexpensive, so...
Yeah, I would kind of suggest a name change though, because people look at and it's like Zigfrat. What the hell's that? But
I know.
But if you named it like Drunken Spaceship Pornography, then I think you know people would get it.
That's actually. Can I use that?
No, because they used it's Drunken Robot Pornography.
Oh, that's right. There is a thing game. Title.
Yeah. But
But something like Crazy Disco Space Combat or something.
I wanted to have a name that was just like kind of crazy, just like you, like the kind of name that I could like walk around outside naked screaming and people would just be like, whoa, that guy's screaming Zigfrack. What the hell?
That actually should be like in the trailer for the game. You like running around naked in the neighborhood screaming Zigfrack. That you could get a sale or two out of that.
Yeah. I'm not above that. You are right though. I think that there's the name really like it can help or hinder your success when it comes to sales.
Yeah. Well, what's your price point? Like $5 or so?
Yeah, $5 base price. It was like 14 when it came out, and I was like, well, maybe if I lower the price, more people will buy it, and that may have been true. I might have cut a little too deep because now, like when I have to do a discount during a sale, it's like, wow, I'm selling my game for like $1 or $2, and that's
Yeah, but that's the thing though, is like if you were in a Humbles bundle or something, you'd still be at that margin, right?
Yeah, so that's right.
So and with the Steam sale, I mean, it's going on right now. Are you in that? Is it discounted for the?
Yeah, it's like $2 on the Steam summer sale.
Oh, cool.
I wish they would feature me. That would be cool, but I don't think they're going to. They seem to only feature games that are already selling well anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's this feedback loop of, you know, your game is already successful, so you're going to stay at the top there. And I don't know. I think one suggestion I saw, I can't remember who on Twitter, but they were like, you know, Steam should have like a random slot on their front page where the games that aren't necessarily featured can still get a little exposure. And that would be cool. It'd be good for Steam too. You know, it's sales for them.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like there needs to be a second website that's just like the reminder of like, oh yeah, we're on Steam too. You know, like that. Cause you know, and the thing that's not helping is whenever they release stuff, like I forget what it was. It was some music product, right? And it was like something loops. And then they flooded the new release thing. There was like three pages of loop BS for this thing. And it was a real disservice to everybody that had released in that week because it just blew them right off the thing. You know, they were like five pages deep. So, yeah. I don't know. Steam's a great thing, but it's not the perfect thing either. So
it's not. And it's not a sure, it's not a sure win either. I mean, just being on Steam, especially now with this huge influx of newly greenlit titles, it's harder than ever to stand out, get noticed.
You can't depend on it.
Well, that's another thing that Steam's been doing lately is, you know, it used to be good old games was the domain of old stuff. And now I guess something happened there where people are digging up these things that haven't been, you know, it's like almost game archaeology, some of that stuff. and they're bringing it back for like $5 or, you know, whatever. And it's kind of, I don't know, that makes it tough for the indie dev, right? Especially when you have like a weird little game. And, you know, I would have thought this is like a little game, but the more that I play it, the bigger that map seems to get.
Oh, and it's a massive game. It's a massive game.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, you know, I looked, I was like, well, $5, it looks pretty weird. You know, I'll mess with it. And like the more I explore this, it's just like, wow, how much game is there here? You know, and it doesn't seem like it's procedurally generated either. I mean, did you like sit with Excel and like bang in spreadsheets of missions for months or what?
The missions are lovingly handcrafted. I may have had a little help generating the various areas you can visit. I think I kind of wrote a little thing that would combine like different backgrounds and planets together, and boom, it's a system.
Yeah.
Just because there's so much real estate that needed to be filled.
Well, just even the mission descriptions and the scripting for what you're supposed to do, like, you know, you don't have to handcraft every solar system that you're in, right? But it's like you had to do all that stuff. God, that's enough.
Yeah. That's really what that's what takes the most time. I mean, now that the game systems are pretty much dialed in, writing content is really a time sink. Getting it all to work, you know, getting the flow. Sometimes it looks good on paper, but I'll sit down to actually play test. And it's like, oh, this isn't fun. So it needs to be tweaked and iterated on.
Right. But there's so much here. I think before I did the review, I must have played like maybe 10 hours of it. And I felt like I was just scratching the surface. Like, I think the furthest I got on my last playthrough was the cult where they killed you. And, oh, spoiler.
That's like, cool.
You know what I'm talking about, where, you know, of course you know what I'm talking about. You created all this. But, yeah, the cult where you get a better ship. That was awesome, by the way. I love that. Oh, and the time travel stuff. That was also great. This game kind of does make fun of a lot of the conventions of
I wanted to tap those tropes, but not, you know, like not pull, like pull a Star Trek thing where it's taking itself too seriously.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Nothing wrong with Star Trek, but
no, nothing wrong at all with Star Trek. But
yeah, I just didn't want to be. I didn't want to suffer from taking myself too seriously because, you know, sometimes you just got to roll your eyes at your typical, you know, straight out of a million episodes of Star Trek thing. So if you're going to rip off Star Trek, you might as well have fun and not completely be serious about it.
Yeah, and this game, I mean, this game is crazy, but it's not serious. There's a lot of stuff happening here.
Well, it just feels, when I started playing it and I saw some of the missions, and I was just like, this guy's weird like me. This is great, you know? I mean, we're like the same flavor of weird here, so I knew we'd get along. But yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I'm quite surprised. I was not expecting this much content or quality from this thing, you know, just having like passed over it on Steam a couple of times, and then Brian was like, hey, we're gonna have this guy on, and it's like, oh well, I better play it then. So and now I'm like super glad that I did.
Yeah, because I every time it kind of comes up, like, oh, it's on Steam, or oh, it's on sale, I try to tell people, guys, this game is huge and there's so much to do and it's massive, and don't let the interface get you crazy, because it is a little crazy, but that's okay because it's supposed to be crazy. You know, there's a lot of text, but just read through it, because it tells you everything you need to know.
it is kind of crazy, not just the UI, but the game in general. It was like very early prototypes. I think all I really wanted to do originally was to make a game that would cause people to become physically like space sick. Like, so it's actually really toned down now, because that was too much for people to handle.
Oh really?
I thought that a cool like marketing gimmick would be to sell physical copies of the game that came with like a barf bag, like a space sickness bag.
You just package it in there. That'd be
yeah.
Oh,
I don't know really if it would sell a lot of copies if it was called like Star Barf, but you know,
Star Barf.
That's something Jeff Minard would do.
Just looking at the some of the cargo you have, like the duct tape. You know, that helps you. And, like, there's animal crackers, almost too cute to eat, you know. It's just all kind. And there's a vintage lighter. I don't know why it's engraved.
It's an Easter egg.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's a really obscure one that, you know, I didn't want to get sued, so I made it as obscure as possible. But, like, in Battlestar Galactica, Captain Adama gives his son engraved lighter for luck. So property of Joseph Adama there.
Oh, that's great.
But it turns out it wasn't so lucky, because the guy who you pulled it off of was dead in his ship. So
that's great. Okay, so apparently I have to dump this and I have to shoot it. Okay.
It shows up in the mission list there. So some of the items are hidden, just to simplify.
You know, one thing I'll also say for this, that speaking of simplifying, a lot of games like this would frustrate you, because it would be like, okay, I got this mission and they want me to fly here, and now I got to open up the map and try to figure out where the hell that is and you know, like warp over there. And with this thing, it's like you took the mission, your waypoint's already set, hit J and you jump straight there. And I just cannot say enough for that.
Yeah, I know. I love that.
Yeah, I think that catches a lot of people off guard too. They're like, well, you know, they don't realize that adding a mission to your inventory will automatically set the jump target and stuff. So they're like, they'll spend 15 minutes like looking on their map for where they're supposed to go. And
guilty. Yeah. And once I realized it, it was just like, oh, well, that's how everything should be. So,
yeah. Now I gotta say, I do find it funny how the ship, the little drone on the back of my ship, that model is used in another game. Called Dangerous.
Okay.
You know, but apparently there's a place where you can buy common models.
Yes.
It's like that. What's it called again?
3DRT is where these are from. 3DRT.
That's it. Yeah.
And I think Salvation Prophecy uses a lot of these same models too. I've seen them in a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
I've just discovered that rolling the mouse wheel tilts my ship. That's right.
Yeah. Rocks it.
It does? Mine doesn't do that.
Really?
Mine isn't doing that at all.
Set your ship for rock and roll. Ludicrous speed.
Rock and roll.
And I think Z and X by default will also roll.
If I have the mouse mode set on.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you got to have that.
I usually don't turn that on. I usually leave it on select mode. But I just love how the game gives you the option of using one or the other. You know.
Yeah, I've got this thing set mouse mode all the time. Like, as soon as I found out you could do it, it was just like, that's the way I got to do that. Because I so very rarely need to click things, and it's really quick to just bang control with my pinky and then click something, you know, like if I'm looting something in a drive-by, which I'm totally fine with that, so.
Oh, I see. So if you're in mouse control mode, then holding down the control. I didn't even know that. Then holding down the control thing. Oh, I might use that more often. I like that.
Oh, yeah, that's the way, man, because otherwise I was killing I was killing my finger because it's like, oh, God, I got to hold this, you know, this button down to turn, and I have to, like, keep this button mashed for 5 hours. No.
Yeah, so. And that's player feedback in action. That's something I would have never thought of to do myself, and enough people had that same suggestion. I was like, oh, yeah, it's probably worth putting in.
Yeah,
and the hold control thing to temporarily toggle it, that was just introduced a couple patches ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad I'm playing it now then.
See, I played it a while ago before this stuff, you know, even happened, and before this stuff was even there. And I had a great time with it even then. You know, I had a great time with the so-called archaic mode that it had back in the whatever day. Okay, so I have to do something with a gravity core. Okay, I don't know what to do. Okay. What am I doing? I don't even know. Oh, God, bad guys. Anyway.
You got some dudes, yeah. Yeah.
So do drones also launch automatically when you hit the space bar?
They do now. They didn't used to. And that's a...
Oh.
It's a configurable option to... yeah, there's a couple flying off you there. They used to be fired independently, and I think a lot of people were missing the fact that they even had drones at all. So I made them more like just normal guns that just shoot all the time.
Oh yeah, no, I like that. I like that, especially that you can like loot more. I like that.
Yep. And I like that the music is not always with you, but when something's going on, you got some pretty groovy tunes that kick in.
Yeah. The boring music is mostly stuff that I made, but the like thumping, like, you know, techno tracks are songs that I picked up from third parties.
Oh, that's cool.
Spent a ton of money at Audio Jungle licensing tracks for commercial use. And one of these guys, I should like get in touch with him because I'm a really big fan of the tracks that I picked up. Adam James, cuz I think is what he goes by, but or Bad Adam. There's some really killer tracks, especially later on in the game. I try to like ration them out, so as you get to different encounters, you'll hear music that you haven't heard before.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And there's an encounter later that's just like really like just over the top, kind of twisted and brutal, and that's when one of the darkest, like just like dirtiest, nastiest tracks comes out, and it's like, oh my God, I thought it was a great combination.
Ooh, that was kind of scary. Your ship actually gets disabled a fair amount, you know, in a fight, and then you're just left there. So this enemy came up and started humping my ship, and I was a little nervous that he was actually going to, like, steal my ship or something. I don't know what to expect there, but...
Sometimes they will take your stuff. Sometimes they will even leave a bomb behind. So.
Oh, nice. Like in your inventory, and you got to click it to disarm it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, nice.
It shows up pretty prominently in the UI so that you don't have to go digging through your inventory trying to find it. But yeah, there's some mean guys out there, pirates. And
that is mean.
That's hilarious. That's like whenever I was playing Fallout New Vegas, and then you go in stealth and sneak up behind somebody and like pull a pin on a grenade and then pickpocket it into their pocket and run away. So.
Oh no, really? You could do that?
Oh yeah, you totally do that. That's if you're playing a stealth character, you can be like a turbo asshole in that game.
Oh, that's funny. No one wants to be a turbo asshole.
The docking mechanics and the piracy thing were shamelessly inspired by the Escape Velocity series, because if your ship gets disabled in that game, pirates can dock with you, take your stuff, and I thought that was so cool. It was like, oh my God, I'm actually like at risk of losing stuff. What a great feeling.
Well, if you're going to copy any game, that's a game to copy, because that game, people still talk about that game. People like look at like Knave, which also just got greenlit, and like, is it like Escape Velocity? People ask me if Drox Operative is like Escape Velocity, or someone emailed the other day, I want a game like Escape Velocity. It's like, wow. The last one came out 11 years ago.
Yeah,
2003 is when the last one came out.
And I think they're still charging like $25.
They are. They're still charging like $30 for the thing. And they're not on Steam, and they're not on – they're not anywhere except directly from them, if I recall.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember that game. I'm certain that I've seen it, probably maybe even played it. I will YouTube it.
Go look at Knave, N-A-E-V. Pretty much exactly the same thing.
Okay.
Pretty much, except free. And it's kind of funny. They just got greenlit. They didn't update. They haven't done crap to their game in like 2 years.
Yeah.
And as soon as they got greenlit, oh, here's a blog post. We're going to work on the game. Great. Thanks, guys. that's awesome. Whoops. I don't want to.
Oh, yeah. I totally played this. Okay. It was Escape Velocity Nova, right?
Yeah, that was the last one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I remember this. I never got out of that stupid shuttle that they start you with. The game was just balls hard to me.
It was difficult.
Yeah, it is a balls hard game. That is a way to look at it. Definitely.
But yeah. It looks like it's got potential to be super cool, right? Like, did you ever play Space Rogue on the Commodore back in Z-Day? Oh yeah.
Didn't grow up with a Commodore, unfortunately.
Yeah, but, I didn't either, man.
We'll have to send you one. I fired up a Commodore emulator. It was a couple months ago, and I went back to some of the old stuff. And Space Rogue's pretty painful now. It was really fun then, but it was actually kind of a roguelike in space. Yeah, sort of, because it was like generated stuff, and you know, you flew a ship around privateer style, and you know, it was of course Commodore 64 level of 3D graphics and whatnot, right? Right. But then you could actually get out of the ship and walk around like Ultima style, basically. Ooh. Like on the ship. And it's an Origin game, right? So, you know, Ultima, it's in the house. So it was kind of neat for the time. And if there was a remake of it, it would probably be pretty cool. But to go back and try to play that thing now, ooh, painful. But
yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same way about some of the later missions of TIE Fighter right now. Because I don't remember them being so hard.
Yeah, a lot of those old games, just like, they did so much with so little. It's really kind of mind-blowing.
It really is. It really is, because it's just, like, TIE Fighter, for example, I must have had more patience back then or something, because I don't remember me hating the game at times as much as I am right now. Temporarily, of course, because I still love the game.
Right? Yeah.
But
did you ever play Star Raiders?
The original one for the Atari?
Not the stupid remake, but the original.
You know what? I like you. Okay, which remake are you talking about?
I didn't play it. I watched. I think it might have been Total Biscuit streaming it, and it looked kind of contrived and not really living up to its potential. But the original was just like, when I was a kid, that was mind blowingly awesome. Especially on the Atari 2600. It's like this. That's as primitive of graphics as you can possibly get without like de-evolving into Pong.
Yeah.
And they pulled off the 3D star field and all that stuff.
You should totally look for a game. You should totally look for the Interactive Magic version of the game. Came out in the late 90s, and it's actually awesome.
Okay.
Space Rangers or something?
Yeah. That was like Star Rangers or Space Rangers or something like that. Basically the same game, but you know, good. Not like the new one.
Yeah.
The new one, I bought that sight unseen because, you know, hey, Star Raiders.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Did you ever see Star Raiders 2 that was released on the Atari 800?
800? No, I never had an Atari 800.
So what it was is it was actually Last Starfighter.
And what?
Yeah.
There was some copyright or licensing issues there. It's a...
What? Seriously?
I don't remember exactly what the story is, but
totally.
Yeah.
I will have to find an emulator. I have to find, like, right now, I have to find an emulator of that.
Here, I'll throw you a video. Like, you won't even believe it, because it's...
Well, don't throw me one now. But that's amazing. So yeah, you can probably get that. Well, wait a minute. I bet you could probably get the, like, on eBay or something.
Oh, wow. Right? It was out on the Spectrum as well. Interesting.
Wow.
So I think it's Star Rangers. Star Rangers? What the hell? Star Rangers. Yeah, yeah, there it is. Well, you can download it on Abandonware, but we don't promote that. Not vocally, anyway.
Don't pirate software.
Don't pirate software. Never pirate software. Ever. Unless it's Abandonware and you can get away with... No, not even then.
There, I threw a link to Star Raiders 2 on YouTube
I will watch that later.
Oh, it'll just take you 5 seconds. Like, okay. Seriously, just click it and you'll be like, oh my God.
Okay, here we go. Stupid ad.
Oh, man.
Whoa, wait a minute. Did that just say something about the Star League?
Yeah, totally.
No way.
Yeah, and they had to get rid of that crap. And then, so they basically took the intro part off. But like, if you skip about a minute into it, you'll see the actual gameplay.
Holy fuck. It says, greeting, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier. This is verbatim, against Zor and the Kodan. That's the game. That is.
Yes.
Oh my God. Those are the actual Kodan fighters. Oh my God. Those are the Kodan fighters. Oh my God. Wait a minute.
I'm going to have to watch that for some 80s nostalgia.
I am blown away that I always wondered why there never was a Last Starfighter actual game, because it seemed like, you know, obvious.
That was the whole premise of the...
Yeah, exactly, right? That was the whole fucking... It's like, wait a minute.
And you're fighting them in orbit of this planet, and then there's cities on the planet, and you can actually bomb the cities, too. It's like Xevious, right? You shoot the lasers out the front and bombs out the bottom. So, yeah, it's just freaky. Weird game. It's all over the place.
Wait, what are you, Zur? You shouldn't be bombing planets.
I don't know. I mean, I see a crosshair and I see little cities, and I'm sure that those two interact somehow.
So Alex, back on topic. I'm at a station, and you have a mission there. I'm at an alpha station, and there are like about a dozen missions you can take, bounties and stuff.
Yeah, most of those are not really missions that you need to have all the time, but like as you kill enemies out in the open world, they'll drop like armor fragments or insignias or stuff like that. And you'll collect those over time, and every once in a while you can do a hand in and collect some loot for it.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's what those are. That's why they're called bounties. That's pretty cool. But most of the missions in the game are the story-based variety you're getting here. Yeah. But I do see a couple available ones that aren't bounties.
Yeah, there's a few scattered around that are just kind of fun little quick, like confused by the address there. That's one. It's just like, you know, deliver some stuff to a station. They're not really integrated with the rest of the story. Or there's no place like home. You can get your snap drive, which is kind of like your World of Warcraft Hearthstone that you can use to jump back home if you need to.
Oh, really? Well, I'm going to get that. I'm going to do that one. I think I just did that one.
Every once in a while, there's upgrade missions that'll show up at the stations. Like, they'll upgrade your range for your tractor beam or something. I should have done a better job of separating the bounty missions from the non-bounty missions, but...
That's okay.
Well, see, I'm still in the part of the game where it's leading me around by the nose. It's like, go do this, go do that. But I see this big, long mission list at the stations as well. Can I also take the optional missions, or do I have to wait until I'm done being tutorialized, and then I can come back and start doing those?
Yeah, you can you can pick them up, I think, at any time. If you're in a scenario, though, sometimes they won't show up because completing them might interfere with the current mission.
Oh.
To do the to use the modifiers, I think you just kind of click on them and it'll bring up a list of stuff you can choose from. Those used to be ammo modifiers, but then I got rid of the specialty ammo and they became weapon modifiers. So now if you get a gun that shoots a kind of projectile that you really, really like, you can just keep shooting that kind of projectile all the time, and it'll just pull from your generic ammo supply, and some of it's really over-the-top stuff. Like, I think my favorite is, like, there's a rocket launcher called the 64-finger salute, and it literally, every time you fire it, it's like 64 guided missiles coming out of your ship.
Oh my god, I do kind of love some of these names. Like this one rocket launcher I just put up is the incinerating noob tube. Where do you come up with this stuff?
I needed to come up with a bunch of weapon names when I got rid of the specialty ammo, because I had to make up for the lost ammo with new weapon types. So I kind of went crazy with the names. That was a few months ago. I think March was when I rolled out that change, and that was actually really well received. I was really nervous that people were going to be like upset that I'm taking away all their magic ammo, but I think introducing thousands of new guns offset the pain.
And the guns then use this standard ammo type pulse ballistic rocket, because that's much easier to keep track of than trying to find, you know, specific ammo specific.
Well, definitely. It was like before you mentioned Borderlands as a comparator to this, and yeah, kind of that, you know, because it's like you've got a generic kind of ammunition, but then you find all kinds of crazy guns.
Yeah, and that's kind of that's where I took the cue from. Was like, well, you know, Borderlands just they don't have all of these different ammo types, and maybe I should have followed that model instead. And switching to that model was a major, major undertaking. I wasn't sure I was going to like be able to do it without completely destroying the game, but it worked out pretty well. One of the big problems with the old ammo model was you would find some ammo that was really awesome that you really liked, but you only had like a stack of like 12 of them. So after shooting it for 5 seconds, it was all gone, and that was no fun.
Yeah, sorry, got a little distracted there. But okay, so yeah, this game. One thing I like about this game is it just keeps giving you stuff to do. Now, how many missions are there? Because it just keeps doling them out for you, you know. Which I love. I do love that because I'm all about missions. I do love missions.
I don't know what the exact count is. There are 9 tiers of missions, is what I call them, and that's like each mission tier has 2 or 3. Hubs of missions in it. So there's hundreds of missions. I don't know if I would say thousands, but definitely hundreds. And it kind of I wanted to continuously introduce new game mechanics as it went along, and the game kind of evolved too. Like the technology in the game systems evolved as I was writing these missions. So that's why the early missions are kind of, you know, just basic, you know, travel to this place and kill X guys. And later on it gets like the combination of game mechanics gets really crazy.
Yeah. Like right now I'm in a stealth. I'm apparently stealthy, and I have to take pictures of ships and find hiding places apparently, which is, you know, you don't see this. You really don't see a lot of this stuff in space games. I mean, there are some games like, what was that one mission, Jim, in Independence War 2 where you had to, like, steal a ship, but you didn't have a cloaking device.
Yeah, you just had to stay so
out
far
of range.
Yeah, the guards had a detection radius, and you had to stay away from the patrols. And that mission was kind of a bitch.
And that was like the last of the tutorial missions, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, it was just like, you're at the end of the tutorial. Spend 3 hours doing this.
Over it's, and over.
Good luck.
And over. Yeah, have fun. Have fun doing this over and over and over again, basically.
Yeah, I wanted to have a stealth mechanic, but I didn't want it to be so integral to the game that, like you say, it would just like completely suck up hours and hours trying to master it or trying to avoid these aggro radiuses. I think the only thing that'll make your stealth wear off is if you actually like bump into something.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, because right now, basically, like, I'm like a translucent version of my ship, so I can't be seen, which is pretty awesome. I do like that a lot. It's a really cool effect, too. I don't know if you could see it on the thing there, but it looks like I'm flying a big piece of crystal, which I dig. I dig that. I dig that a lot. Oh, wow. You didn't even have to hit the map to jump back to where you need to go. You just jump.
Yeah.
Clever.
It automatically sets your target there. So.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about before. It was just like anytime that it needs you to do something, it's already queued it up for you. So there's just no grief, which I think is great. War games should take that cue.
Yeah, it wants to keep you moving, which I like. You know, I like that a lot. Oh, my God. There's a big fight going on here. I don't know what's happening. Analyze something. What am I supposed to analyze? I don't understand.
You got to fly close to the red guys.
Oh, okay. Fly close to the red guys. I can do that. Oh, gosh. I don't want to bump into them, though. Oh.
Yep. Oh, I got it. Some of them are firing gravity weapons, too, that will actually suck you in and make things interesting.
I'm uncloaked. Oh, gosh. I got to fly away. Fly away. Okay. And the cloak goes back on. Ooh. Yeah, I love the battle effects, how, like, the whole screen gets flashy white. It's very – it's busy, but I love it. I really dig it. Okay, I have to fly close to these guys.
Yeah, the screen flashing was really divisive. I'm a big fan of it. Some people really hate it. Like some people just, like, really hate it. So I added an option to turn that off if in the event that you're photosensitive or just don't like it.
Oh, you can turn that off.
Yeah. There's a ton of options.
Yeah, there are. I was looking at them earlier. There's like make missiles tangible and pause before encounters, which is handy, and auto-equip stuff, which is nice. And so I guess yes, explosion flashes, explosion bloom. You can totally turn that off. That is nice, dude. Hey, my graphics quality is set to only good. I should change it to beautiful because I have a good computer. Okay.
Yeah, anti-aliasing and all that stuff.
I mean, the game is already pretty, pretty, you know. It looks pretty good. Do I have to dock? I got to dock. Okay. Yay. Okay, that did it. But, yeah, this game is meant to just keep you going. It basically keeps feeding you stuff to do, which I really love about it. Like, when I did a review about it, I just couldn't stop playing it for a while.
Yeah.
Jim, sorry.
It does end, which is kind of sad, but it's still open-ended. Like, if you manage to beat the whole campaign, there's things you can do to keep going, craft ships or explore the whole map or whatever. And I do want to add some more content, some extra missions that kind of pick up where it leaves off.
Oh, that's cool. So it's kind of like Starflight. When the game ends, it doesn't really end. You can just, even though there's no like new mission content, you can just kind of tool around and do your thing. That's awesome.
And at that point, you're pretty godlike, too, and unkillable if you've got the right combination of ship and gear.
Again, like Starflight. I don't know. Did you ever play Starflight?
I didn't.
Oh, well, the first game, when you finished the main story, you could still fly around, but you were pretty godlike. If I recall, you had a cloaking device. You had these amazing missiles, amazing lasers, and I think you just, like, jump around at random. And there were, like, some races that always attacked you, no matter what you said or did. So, like, it was always fun to, I feel like messing with them. And they always were, like, all so pissed off. You can just imagine them, like, where is he? oh, the Gazertoid. Like a race of fish or whatever the fuck they were.
angry fish.
They were. They were kind of angry fish amphibian things. I don't remember. Jim, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I didn't know if we had lost you. You were having mic troubles earlier.
Nope, I'm good.
So you mentioned a sequel, Alex.
It's something that I'm thinking about. It would be a pretty big undertaking, but I would love to really make the game that I wanted to make originally, which is a multiplayer affair. I think that would be a blast. I think I would really need to dedicate my life to making that happen when the time arrives.
And do you think that's a possibility? Like, I don't know about soon or anything, but...
It's hard to imagine doing it soon, but definitely a possibility. It's something I really want to do.
So is game development like your full-time gig now, or this is still a side job?
It was for a while, but I did have to go back to work because it just wasn't paying the bills.
Oh.
So... Luckily, my job is pretty cool, and I work with some good people on interesting stuff, so it's not that bad.
What do you do?
I write Python over at LinkedIn.
Oh, LinkedIn.
Yeah.
A coworker of mine went to LinkedIn about 2 years ago. I don't remember his name now, but he was very happy there.
Yeah, it's a good place to work. They treat us very well.
I would kind of hope so, because their whole, like, their main thing is getting people to work. And so you would hope that a company focused on getting people to work would be a good place to work.
Yes, yes. And they are. It's not game dev, but it's still pretty cool.
No, I mean, you guys are getting bigger and bigger all the time. You know, I'm in internet marketing, so we definitely have to pay attention to LinkedIn.
Yeah, and the thing about having a corporate development job is that it ends at 5 o'clock and you go home. You know, there's no crunch mode, where, at least I hope not for you, where, you know, it's like you get to actually leave it. And also, when you finish a development cycle, you don't get fired. So
that's, well, it depends. You know, some places, especially in the game dev industry, once you ship that title, man, they ship a bunch of people out. But luckily, my position isn't like that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, you know, I'm talking to my nephew who wants to get into programming, and he's like, well, you know, I like video games and stuff, but, and I'm like, just don't even do it, because I got enough friends that are in the industry. I got a buddy that was like 9 months hunting for a job out in San Fran, right? And it's just like, because whenever, you know, they hire everybody in town that does this, and then they eject them all at once, so then you get like 50 people that are, yeah, that are artists that hit the street all together, you know. Yes. And it's
the
just
market
bad.
Is flooded. Yeah. Yeah. That's got to be a heartbreaker too. Like, to just like pour your guts out into this game, you know, and then see ya, which is cool. The cool thing about indie development. And like you say, you know, after 5 o'clock or whenever, I could come home and I do often tool around in Zigfrak or other little side projects. And yeah, it's not mutually exclusive at all. So,
how easy was it to get it on Steam once you were greenlit?
It is kind of surprisingly technical. There's like, you can integrate with Steamworks as much or as little as you want to, but just like their release workflow for us anyway involves copying it back and forth between multiple machines and running these scripts on it. I don't even know how to do it. My wife helps me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing. Is your wife also a coder?
Yeah. When I went back to work, she picked up development of Zigfrak. She did a few of the bug fix releases herself.
Really?
She helped write a lot of the later content in the game too.
And
right now she's working on something pretty much single-handedly at the moment. I'd like to help more than I have been, but she's working on a first-person shooter that is shaping up to be pretty awesome. If I could plug that.
Well, go for it, Ben.
It's just like chr-27.com. It's this, it's a story about a misfit robot trying to find his way in the world.
His ongoing mission, don't fuck it up.
That's right.
Let's see. Role-playing elements, okay. I'm good there. Love that. Well, I do like robots.
So that will probably be our next major announcement is like availability of that before I do any kind of Zigfrak sequel. But
yeah, I think, you know, robots are mass appeal, right? Everybody likes robots, except for John Connor.
But yeah, he's had incredibly bad luck with
Oh my god. Oh, that's great. That is great. Oh, here we go. Star Rangers, here we go. $2.99. Boom. Done. Nice. $3 shipping, so it's basically $6. Here you go. I'll put it in the Skype. Here, enjoy. It still runs. You can run it on it still runs under Windows 7 at least, and it's a fun little game. If you like that sort of thing, that takes us. That's kind of a random thing. I just happened to have it open when I looked at your game. It's like, oh yeah, I was looking for a copy of that for him. I of course have a copy already because I have a lot of things. But yeah, this seems like a natural place to wrap it up because I'm kind of falling asleep and I'm going to start rambling soon, and I don't want to do that. And we've talked for a little over an hour, which is great.
Yeah. thanks again for having me. I had a good time.
Totally my pleasure. Your game was, it sounded like it was a nice surprise for Jim. It was definitely a nice surprise for me because it's kind of unassuming. You know, it's kind of unassuming. And yet once you start digging into it, you're like, holy crap, there's a lot of game here.
Yeah, kind of low risk, high reward. If you're, it doesn't grab everyone, but the people who it does grab, it definitely grabs them.
Yeah, guys, right now you can get Zigfrak on Steam for $4.99. Is that right?
$2 during the summer sale.
Oh God, that's right. It's on the sale. So $1.99 on the sale right now, which is happening. We're recording this on June 24th. The sale still has six. Well, by the time you hear this, 4 days left. So,
It's almost always on sale somewhere.
It's running to the 29th. So today's the 24th.
30th,
yeah.
Actually.
Okay, so.
But the podcast won't go live until like Thursday.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
that's
saying.
True.
So, like, you'll be hearing this in the future, people. So,
yeah. Wow.
$2.
Does that mean we're doing this in the past?
We are. It's all timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly. But folks, even though the game regularly priced is what, $4.99?
Yeah, so
even that's less than a lot of cups of coffee you can get at big places. There's a ton of content here for $4 or $5. $2, it's like Alex is being ripped off. Seriously, it's like you're mugging him for buying it
every time. It's like stabbing me in the face and taking my wallet.
You are shiving him in the jail yard every time you buy the game for $2. But buy the game for $2 if you like lots of space shooty, missile-y, gunny, mission-y stuff. There's a lot of good gaming here. It's funny and it's chaotic and there's lots of great guns. Like right now, what does my ship have on it? I don't even remember. My ship has a precision RPG launcher, a tactical pulse cannon, and an incinerating noob tube. Plus my first kill drone launcher. I mean, how funny is that? My first kill drone launcher. I imagine like a My Buddy commercial from the 80s. Yes. You know, my kill drone, my kill drone. Wherever I go, he goes. Oh, Jesus Christ, I have to stop. I'm sorry. So, folks, Zigfrak, it's a great game. You should buy it if you don't. Even if you own it, gift it someone. If you know they like space games, gift it. It's really easy to gift right now for $2. It's still easy to gift at $5. So get this game. Alex, thank you so much again for joining us, taking time out of your day to talk to us about this really surprisingly fun game. And Jim, thanks for being an awesome co-host. And I'm glad you enjoyed the game. You know, I'm glad you found it a pleasant surprise.
I dig it.
Right.
He likes it.
That's it.
Hey, Mom. Hey, Mikey.
Yeah. Give it.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Brian.
So I'm going to stop the stream, folks. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great night. Bye-bye.